Welcome to our audio workshop. We're going to be talking about Tradition 1. The long form of Tradition 1 reads, "Each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. AA must continue to live or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare should come first, but individual welfare follows close afterward." Does that bring any thoughts to mind, gentlemen?
Well, the thought that it brings to my mind is the fact that for years, before Alcoholics Anonymous, there were hundreds of societies that helped alcoholics, the Oneida Society, the C.W. Post Society, the Oxford Group, the Washingtonians. We always study two of them in Alcoholics Anonymous, but there were hundreds of them, and they all failed. Every single one of them failed, except for Alcoholics Anonymous. It's the sole surviving. Milton Maxwell, one of our past General Service Board chairs, once said that Alcoholics Anonymous is the only self-help society that survived its co-founders. And I believe that is because Bill gave us this legacy of our 12 traditions with Bob's help. Bob basically knew that Bill had to do something like this, and he told Bill to go do it. We ended up with these 12 points of AA tradition. I was looking for it. I couldn't find it, but there's some way where it's someplace where it says that the 12 traditions were hammered out on the anvil of AA experience, and I always liked that. Bill had a way with words. And the first tradition, the way one of our past curmudgeons, Ken 45, explained to me, was that the first tradition is the foundation and pretty much promises what we're going to get if we observe the other 11. And it says, that what we're going to get is we're going to get a united society. And when we're united, we can focus on all the rest of the things like our primary purpose and things like that. So I think this was Bill's best effort to allow the society to survive when he would pull back and ultimately, die.
Bill also said that these were to unify or the groups, talk about the groups. And he mentioned that without the groups, individuals would not succeed or survive. So it was very important or paramount that these traditions be accepted and implemented. And I always thought that I agree that the Tradition 1 is the foundation upon which all the other traditions are built. And the way that I look at Tradition 1 is that it's like a bunch of sticks on the ground. If you pick up a stick, it is very easily broken. However, if you take a bunch of sticks and put them in a bundle, in an attempt to break that bundle, you can't do it. Mm-hmm. If we temper our egos and our self-interest for the group, and that to make sure that the group survives, that I think that's where this step or this tradition. That's what it at least is telling me, is that we need to put the groups. Interest before our own, because right. If it's not for the group, we wouldn't be here.
And we're sitting here today in the archives of the Mid-Southern California area, where a lot of our history is deposited and is available to the fellowship, anybody who wants to come review some of it. And it isn't in our archives, it's in the Area 5 archives, I think it's in the Los Angeles County archives now, Central Office archives. But there was a meeting format, a secretary's format for a meeting in 1949 or 1950. And it was meticulously hand-typed about, okay, have them read Chapter 3, have them read Chapter 5, have them read the 12 traditions, pass the 7th tradition. They didn't pass the 7th tradition because the really traditions hadn't been accepted yet. But at the end, at the very end of the meeting, there was a handwritten note, and it says, read the 12 traditions. And it went on to say, Bill says we got to read these things. This is not my idea. I think there's a tendency sometimes today, if the traditions even thought about at all, they think that they've always been around. We've always observed them meticulously. We've always cleaved to them. and that there was no resistance to the 12 traditions when they were first put out, and there were actually fist fights. Some of the people who, you know, who were around shortly after the traditions were introduced talk about the fist fights that they had in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. So I believe that anything of the momentous value to Alcoholics Anonymous is the 12 traditions. When they're introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous, there is a core group of people who will fight everything, and the traditions were really. It was really something to get the groups. Still is in some instances to get the groups to go together. I know there are groups that say, well, you know, or there are people who say, well, I'm not a group, I'm a person, so I don't have to. The traditions are for groups, but they may be for groups, and it mentions the groups. But this is about how well do I observe these traditions in as a member of Alcoholics, as a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's pretty much my input on the first tradition.
Yeah. When Bill introduced these, he would go around and talk about the traditions. And originally, he had the long fork. And that was part of the problem, mm-hmm. I think, was that, or at least people told him, is that these things are just too long, or too cumbersome. And a gentleman from Chicago suggested to Bill that he shorten them up. So that's how we got the short form, and with the short form, even people didn't accept them real well until the 1950,
yeah.
or the first international convention, where they were accepted by the fellowship. And it's interesting is that there is nothing in our archives that shows that the fellowship has ever accepted the long form of the traditions. It's always been the short form that has been officially accepted.
Well, I think as recently as a couple of years ago, there was a proposal made through a letter from some area, might have even been our area, that the 12 traditions be accepted by the fellowship as just as a part of Alcoholics Anonymous, so they're not just hanging out there in limbo all the time. And Pete remarked about how Bill was going around trying to sell the traditions to people. The purpose for the first Southern California Convention was, Bill said, get everybody together in one place because I'm going to come out there one time,
yeah.
and I'm going to go over this one more time, he told Clyde Davis, who was a past delegate from Southern California, Area 5. And so he came out, and that was the purpose for the first Southern California Convention. Bill talked about the traditions. And there were times Pass It On, where Bill said, you know, I would go someplace, they would invite me to speak, and I would show up to speak, and they'd say, Bill, you can talk about that white flash, that white light, you know, you can talk about that jag you did with Ebby, but don't talk about those damn traditions, please. Yeah. It was a hard sell.
Yeah. You know, when I got newly sober, I was introduced to a 12 and 12 meeting. And after a while, somebody mentioned that in the directory, this was a 12 and 12 meeting, which meant that in addition to the steps, we were to talk about the traditions. And that discussion to include the traditions in the meeting or to discuss the tradition, it was a much loving discussion. Even, you know, in the late 80s that people had a resistance for them. And so we decided that once a month we would talk about one tradition. And during those meetings, it was really funny is that half the group would not show up just because we were talking about tradition. And I know, you know, we're talking about tradition one right now, is that you know, I always have to remember to temper, to knock down my ego. And when I go into a group, in my home group, I may not accept, is that the word I want? Accept what the group decides. However, I acquiesce to their wishes because they take precedence over me.
I know that, again, going back to a man who had a huge impact in my early sobriety, especially in general service, was Ken 45. And Ken always said, I remember this, he'd say, you know, about the traditions, and especially about tradition one, he'd say about the group and the importance of the group and how the whole thing is in you know, set up, you know, where the individual, you know, the welfare of the individual follows close behind. And he just, he always said, he said, just pay attention. He says, somebody puts their hand up as a newcomer in a meeting, everybody pays attention to him. He says, what Ken believed is if we pay attention to the traditions, then we'll take care of the newcomer. We won't get all balled up in our shorts, and the newcomer will get the attention that they deserve because we won't be arguing and fighting with each other. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, if we observe the principles of, again, the 11 traditions to follow.
And I've always believed that a group that doesn't follow the traditions will not survive.
Yeah,
I guess there are a few groups out there who don't follow their traditions and have been around for a long time, and I'm amazed that they're still out there.
And I think it's sort of one of the problems. I think there's almost like a generation, my generation, maybe in Alcoholics Anonymous, that we have lost the value of the importance of the 12 traditions just because it hasn't been a part and parcel to sponsorship, to create an interest in the traditions, to take their sponsees to places where the traditions are being discussed, to encourage that the people we sponsor go to 12 steps and 12 traditions meetings. Yeah, Julian R., one of our past trustees, Pacific Region trustees, we had PRASA here, and Ken 45 went up to Julian, you know, and he says, can't you do something to get that changed in the 12 and 12? He says, everybody says 12 by 12. He says, it's not 12 by 12, it's 12. It's 12 steps and 12 traditions. And Julian said, well, I sort of like 12 by 12. He says, because that puts them on equal footing. And Ken never argued about it again. Believe it or not, Ken never argued about it again.
And you're talking about, you know, our generation. You know, we're in the same generation. Is that... Yeah, even my sponsors never really talk about the traditions, you know. And I'm real grateful that I got involved in general service, mm-hmm. because general service is, you know, that's what we do, is look at the 12 traditions.
Well, the Archives puts on an annual event called Heritage Day. And one of the differences between Heritage Day and any other old-timers meeting that I've ever been to is we don't really ask them to tell their stories. We hope that they're telling their stories in their home group and the cities where they live, and most of them are. But we ask them, what was AA like when you got here? How did you find out about AA? And so what we've gotten in the recorded history of Heritage Day, we've gotten a pretty good picture of what the environment was when the 12 traditions were introduced. And again, which gives us such an incredible idea of how much we needed these things. The first Heritage Day, I went to Clyde D. Mm-hmm. and Joe Q. From Laguna Canyon, mm-hmm. were the speakers. And they remembered when those traditions, you know, didn't exist. And these were two consummate 12-steppers. I mean, Clyde was very active in H&I, and Joe Q., you know, George D. always referred to Joe Q. as just a... as the master at 12-step work. So here's two guys that were very involved with helping the alcoholic who still suffered, and they still found time to talk about the 12 traditions and the importance of the 12 traditions to Alcoholics Anonymous. So like Pete, I owe an incredible gratitude to what the Archives and what General Service has done to expose the fellowship to the extent that the fellowship wants to be exposed to the 12 traditions and, you know, how they came about and why we needed them then, and why we need them now.
I think we need them more today than ever.
Yeah. One of the districts does a debate each year on a tradition. Can we, you know, yeah, do one pro and one con, and they give the people a lot of time to prepare, and they say, you know, I want to change this tradition, and the other one sort of defends it in its current state, and usually the person who defends the tradition takes the tack of what would AA be like without this tradition in its current form? If it was different, it was changed this way, you know, what would AA be like with that? And we get to see a real picture of how nothing is perfect, but these traditions really, really, really are pretty perfect for the society that embraces them.
Yeah, I always looked at this program or the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that Bill, when he developed the steps, he took different ideas from different sources, the Oxford group and all sorts of religions, and they had all sorts of input. And we got to 12 steps, and I think where Bill really had the foresight was when he developed and he saw the need for the 12 traditions as well as the general service structure and the concepts. I think that's where he really had the foresight, was to develop both of those principles, sets of principles. Hate to think where this program would be without him.
Well, somebody once said, you know, AA would probably exist. It might have been wishful thinking, but they said AA would probably continue to exist, but what form would it take?
Yeah.
You know, we don't compete with anybody. AA doesn't compete with anybody. There are other people out there trying to do what they do, and AA just goes along. Our traditions say, you know, we don't pick fights with people. We don't try to defend Alcoholics Anonymous. We just say, this is us, and here's what we do. And, you know, the book describes it very well. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program recovery. AA is about our experience. It isn't about our, you know, how much money we have or how elaborate our social functions are or anything like that. It's just about reaching out to the next guy.
Hammer
down on the anvil of experience.
Okay, so this will conclude our workshop on Tradition 1.